Let me bring in Richard Roth. He's a legal analyst. He is the founder of the Roth Law Firm. Richard, thank you for joining me.
Hey, thank you for having me.
So Gretchen Carlson settles for $20 million. Is that an appropriate amount?
You know, it's hard to say what an appropriate amount is because we don't know two huge, huge things. One is the actual, let's call it violative conduct. We know that there's a lot of tape recorded conversations. A bunch of things have leaked as to what exactly he did say in these conversations. One of them was, you know, we should have had sex a long time ago. And so if the violative conduct is that bad, then that would increase the number. And the second is really her damages. That is, what, as a result of her leaving, what are her damages? What would she have earned had he not engaged in this conduct? But, so but it's a tough one to answer.
But how much she would have earned seems like a pretty quantitative sort of evaluation. In terms of how she was treated, how does that become a substantive sum?
Well, because what happens is, if you fast forward, you don't settle, you go before a jury, and the more outrageous the treatment is, the more the jury would dislike Roger Ailes. So, you know, that's what it's about. They're gonna, you know, how bad was it? But the bigger issue, you're right, the bigger issue is the quantitative numbers, and I'm sure that between Gretchen Carlson and Fox, they sat down and said, listen, I have an X-year contract. It would have been renewed for X dollars. I would have made, you know, X times whatever. I'll take a little bit less. And then you have Fox saying, listen, I'll pay you more than maybe what you should have, but let's just bury this. And I think that Fox, it's a very smart move to bury this because this was, this would have been, it appears to be, to have been very, very ugly stuff that would have come out, and I think what Fox is doing is really the right thing. Just close this chapter and move on. And there's some rumors that Ailes may have even contributed money himself, which is interesting in light of the allegations.
Well, speaking of him contributing money, he apparently or allegedly has hired a lawyer, the one that I guess went after Gawker on behalf of Hulk Hogan. They're going after now New York Magazine, somebody named Gabriel Sherman. Are you familiar with this case?
Yeah, I mean, he has said he's going after New York Magazine for essentially defaming him.
And but my I want to talk to you a little deeper on the defamation conversation because while we were getting you on the phone, I was talking to the audience about the fact that people now seem somehow entitled to defame. It's so common in social media that it's become part of the usual discourse. Where I think people that now write for magazines and newspapers and certainly for sure bloggers somehow feel like every time somebody creates an emotion in them that they don't like, they're entitled to harm that person. And then they go, then once they get that motivation, well, then they look at the facts. It's bizarre.
Yeah, you know, it's fun. Well, first of all, there's two different standards. There's the ordinary man standard, and there's someone who's a celebrity, which is a higher standard because people talk about celebrities all the time. But you're right. It's almost like, and the Hulk Hogan situation is another one, it's almost like we've reached a point in society where you have a right to say whatever you want. I'm sorry, you have a right to sue whoever you want for whatever reason you want, and then, you know, try to collect money thereafter. And we have on both sides, the pendulum is swinging, if you will, to the extremes. On the one hand, anyone says what they want, whenever they want. On the other hand, we have people suing for you know, to protect their if you will, their persona, their reputation, and the truth somewhere lies in the middle. The bottom line is that people should not be out there doing what they're doing. Whether it's I'm not sure if Sherman's statements to Ailes was as bad as I did not read the article, but I know Ailes is going after him. You know, should Sherman have come after Ailes as he did? On the other hand, should Ailes really jump to a lawsuit? Everyone thinks the answer is to sue, and it's not always that easy. It just isn't.
Well, but I'm more interested in what the threshold is now, given that journalists seem to feel entitled to say anything anytime they want under any circumstances, regardless of the impact.
Yeah, and it's pretty – the threshold has not changed, but journalists have.
Yeah.
The threshold essentially is you make an intentional misrepresentation of fact.
Well, I thought it was a disregard for the fact so long as the motivation was the harm.
It could be either. It could be an intentional misinterpretation of fact or a disregard for the fact if the motivation is to harm. It could be either. And you're reading, you know, you can't go by a day without somebody slamming somebody else. The reason why I think it's happening so much, that is that journalists are going so far on the limb, is because you don't see a lot of defamation laws.
Well, but that's my point. Isn't it time that people did? Now, you were making the case that people sue for everything, but my position is maybe it's time. Maybe it's time to push back on that nonsense.
I think it is time, and I think the Hulk Hogan case may have shaken up. It really may have shaken up the industry, because who would have thought that Hulk Hogan, who allegedly his reputation was damaged, would have been able to recover the amount of money he did. So, you know, journalists, take warning. Take warning that if in fact you say it, and if in fact someone sues you, there's a chance that it does stick, and that you do get hit. I mean, Gawker got destroyed from this lawsuit.
I don't know. I've been the object of absolute ridiculous falsity, and I look at the print and I think there's nothing motivating this person but intent to harm. That's it.
But here's the question, though. Have you ever sued?
I'm thinking about it.
Well, you know, it's funny. I'll give you my number later. But it's funny because what's happened is it's happened to me, too. I mean, I do a lot of these interviews on the press all the time. What's happened is people like you and I have said, what am I going to do? Hire a lawyer, waste my time,
right.
Sidetracked, and how
right.
much money am I really going to get? I have a very dear friend who runs a hedge fund this morning called me up. He wanted to sue. And generally the answer is, forget it. It's not worth it. But now what's happened is now with that Hulk Hogan result where, wow, you know, if I can get, you know, I've got the number he got.
But there's also, in addition to the number and motivating the attorneys to do the work, but from an individual standpoint, you feel like, hey, it's time for individuals to stand up to these people. Who are they? What do they think? You know what I mean? I've been thinking that for a long time, but I'm now seeing that it's gotten much, much worse.
And now what's happened is now that Hulk Hogan stood up, and I will tell you, I did some interviews in the Hulk Hogan trial, and I could not have, for the life of me, thought it would have gone the way it went. But now that that happened, I'm wondering if journalists are saying, wait a minute, maybe I should pull back, maybe I shouldn't use that word and just dim it down a little because I could get sued. I think that lawsuit is really a poster child for, you know, don't say those things about me because I'm going to come after you as well.
Well, what is it perhaps that this Gabriel Sherman said that was not so much, in other words, there was a lot of nasty stuff being said about Roger Ailes. What did he say that somehow got, you know, went over the top? I can't find it from any of the articles I see. I wonder what it
was.
Well,
all I've found is that he wrote extensively about the sexual harassment allegations, and he did publish a very lengthy article about Ailes and his downfall, and I don't know exactly what, I don't think Ailes has actually come out yet, but I don't know exactly what it was he said in his lawsuit which would have so outraged Ailes. I don't have a pleading, and I don't know what it was, but there's something there that he said, because God knows everyone's been writing about Ailes. There's something there that he said that just really upset Ailes, and he said, you know, let me call up Hulk Hogan's lawyer, this guy, Terry Bollea, and maybe I can, you know, do what Hulk Hogan did.
Hmm.
So I don't have the actual answer to that question, but Ailes believed it was bad enough to, you know, hire a lawyer.
I'm looking at, my wife just sent me my own Google alerts where I'm looking at stuff that is so factually inaccurate, so far from the truth, and so harmful. Directly harmful to right now. No. I'm looking at a bunch of things online and things. These are not social media. I'm talking about people that have .coms and things. I'm not going to name names just yet. It's like, come on. It's so ridiculous. They have no regard for the facts. What's discussed in social media becomes fact, and we all know how profoundly inaccurate that is.
And what it is, the editors in chief for those magazines and all these magazines published on social media have to have a much harder role. They have to put down the gauntlet, because one hit from a defamation suit could literally, as it is in the Hulk Hogan Gawker case, can destroy a company. And I'm not saying New York Magazine is going to be destroyed, but they really, really have to watch out, because it's reached the point where no one knows what to believe.
But right, Richard, that is exactly the point. That is exactly the point. The journalists need to get back to just mining the facts, just present the facts to us.
It's irresponsible journalism. How do you, you know, you read this stuff, and some of the stuff you read now, whether it's on social media or even in the magazines, newspapers.
When you're the object of it, you realize how inaccurate their reporting is. You're like, oh my God, that's 1,000. Or even when it's factually correct, but then they nuance it with their language that turns it into something inaccurate. It's like, this is really not okay. My daughter's in a nonfiction writing program, and I told her, I said, you know what, I think you're going to be the journalist of the future, because journalism is not going to exist. It's going to be people who are historians and things like that who just give us the facts.
It's so true. It's so true. I mean, it's almost like we've come full circle. It's funny because I'm in the middle of reading this Alexander Hamilton book, which is fascinating, you know, by Ron Chernow. And back then, the Hamilton book. Incredible book.
Yeah.
And back then, during the, if you will, late 1700s, you could say whatever you wanted about anyone, whether it was Jefferson or Hamilton. They're slamming each other, and most of which isn't true.
Yeah.
And we obviously adopted laws from Great Britain to try to restrain that and limit that to so that it has to be accurate reporting. It seems like we're going back to
We're absolutely. I think about absolutely that. They would actually establish papers. I think Andrew Jackson did this. He actually opened a paper specifically to put out a bunch of lies and a bunch of innuendo and gossip on his behalf. And that's what they would do.
Jefferson did the same thing, and now we're back there. You just read this stuff, and you shake your head and say, A, how could someone write it? It's irresponsible journalism. And B, how can an editor-in-chief or an editor allow it? You know, I get calls all the time from the press like this one. And when I'm in a magazine, a newspaper, if they think it's too much, they'll cut it out. And that's their responsibility. And I don't know how much fact-checking goes on either these days.
Well, yeah, or the one I love is that, you know, you're someone with a ton of experience and training and you've been doing what you're doing for a long time. They'll go on the corner and interview a law student and go, what do you think? And then that opinion gets equal sort of weight to yours. It's like expertise bears no meaning anymore, too. That's the other thing I find extraordinary. It's like,
that bothers me. I think what bothers me more, though, is just the free pen wielding, not even a pen anymore, computer wielding by these journalists.
Well, very.
And that's where the pendulum has swung way too far. And, you know, we'll see. I mean, honestly, I think that Hulk Hogan case is a huge cry to these journalists. You better watch out.
Well, in a way, Trump is that too, isn't it? He's sort of like, because he doesn't treat them very well, and they're very confused by that. It's really interesting.
Trump is that. The problem, I think, though, is that there's no sympathy for Trump.
Right.
He's been called, but he's sort of Teflon.
He's been called everything under the sun. Right. Yeah, right. He just ignores it. Yeah, he ignores it, and maybe that's the way to do it. Maybe that's the way to deal with it. Just to move on, keep moving, and be like a shark. But Richard,
that's what historically has happened. People have said, like you said, you've gotten hit. You get hit all the time. You ignore it. You shake your head and say, "How can that possibly be? You know, how could someone write that?" And you move on.
Yeah.
I think that, you know, when something is so outrageous, whether it's Hulk Hogan and if Ailes is that bad, that you want to stake your ground and you have the money to do it, because God knows Roger Ailes has it, whether he'll pay the $20 million or not.
Yeah.
Then that may be the time. Those are the times that he may say, "Listen, I don't care what I spend on this. I want to vindicate my name." Now, the problem is, by the way, that a lot of bad stuff will come out. If Ailes does through New York Magazine, a lot of, you know, he certainly isn't a victim here. So it could very well backfire.
Interesting. Richard Roth, thank you. He is the founder of the Roth Law Firm. Richard, is there a website for people to go?
Sure. It's www.rrothlaw.com. RROTHLAW.
RRothlaw.com. Thanks so much. We'll talk to you soon.
Hey, thank you so much.
You got it. Richard Roth, legal analyst, attorney, founder of the Roth Law Firm.